بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, previously we had discussed with regard to jihad and the importance of jihad and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted honor to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, granted dominance, granted leadership to them through the institute of jihad. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the importance of taqwa, of the consciousness of Allah, of abiding by the commands of Allah, even when it comes to warfare, when it comes to jihad, the main ingredient that is required for success and to be dominant and for Allah to then grant leadership is for a person to have taqwa. So here Allah mentions the benefits of adopting taqwa, inculcating taqwa within a person. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O those who have believed, in tattaqullah, if you have the consciousness of Allah, if you develop taqwa. And generally, mufassirin have mentioned a simple explanation or meaning of taqwa, and that is imtithalu awamirillah wa ijtinabu nawahihi, for a person to abide by the commands of Allah and to abstain from the prohibitions of Allah. That is what taqwa entails, that a person does what Allah wants him to do and he avoids that which Allah doesn't want him to do. So if you do this, you develop taqwa, then what will the benefit be? يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Allah will grant you furqan. Furqan means a criterion. In other words, Allah will grant you an inner compass and the innate ability to distinguish between right and wrong, to make the correct decisions. And this is general. On a broad scale, a person has many decisions that he needs to make in his life, in his day-to-day life, with regard to his deen, his iman, with regard to his family members, his business. Likewise, if we are speaking about jihad on the battlefield, then decisions need to be made there as well. So Allah will grant you this furqan, this criterion, which will allow you to make the right decisions, to decide and to determine between right and wrong. And you will find yourself rightly guided in this way, as a result of your taqwa, of your abiding by the commands of Allah and abstaining from his prohibitions. So that is the first benefit. Secondly, وَيُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. Allah will wipe away your evil deeds for you. Whatever evil deeds you may have done, Allah will remove the effects of those evil deeds. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And he will forgive you. Your maghfirat will be made. So this is the benefit, or these are few benefits of a person developing taqwa, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will then make his way ahead easier for him. Allah will remove the evil effects of the past. Allah will forgive this person. وَاللَّهُ ذُو الْفَضْلِ الْعَظِيمِ. And then Allah mentions that Allah is that being that possesses great bounties. In other words, the rewards and benefits of taqwa do not stop here, but Allah who has great bounties by his side, Allah will grant you these bounties as well. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the very famous incident that had taken place with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just prior to the hijrah, prior to leaving Makkah Mukarramah. And the incident is well known. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah has mentioned that the leaders of the Quraysh had gathered in Darun Nadwa, which was their gathering place in Makkah Mukarramah, and they wanted to have a discussion with regard to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what do we do about him? Many years have passed and he has taken many people as his followers. Many of our community have turned to him. So as they entered Darun Nadwa, Iblis, Shaitan, also appeared in the form of an old man, and he then spoke to them and said, I have come from Najd, and would you permit me to also join your mashwara, your discussion? So they permitted him, and then he also impressed upon them the importance of getting rid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in that discussion, there were a few suggestions that were put forward. One person suggested that why don't we grab hold of him, tie him up, imprison him, and we leave him to then die in this way. As we had done with the poets of the past, we find in the past, poetry was a very strong form of criticism that would be used. So there were poets that would criticize the state or criticize the rulers, and then they would then have these poets imprisoned, chained up, and they would leave them to die. So why don't we do this? So when this suggestion was put forward, then Shaitan said, no, this is not a good suggestion, because knowing him and the influence that he has had, his followers will break in, will untie him and will release him. So the second person then, he gives his suggestion. He says, why don't we exile him, expel him from the land, send him somewhere else to some outer lying area, and he can then set up camp there, and we won't have to bother with him and deal with him. So again, Shaitan explains that this is not going to be the best decision, because he will gain followers in that place, and again he will then be able to build a strong army, and he will come back against us. Then Abu Jahl gives his suggestion. He says that why don't we take young men from each tribe of the Quraysh, and each one of them should take a spear or a sword in his hand, and at once they should attack Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in this way his death will be attributed to all of them, and the Banu Hashim will then not find it possible to retaliate against all these tribes. So when he gives this suggestion, then Iblis, Shaitan, in the form of that old man, is overjoyed. He says, this is the best thing that we can do, and they agree that this is what they will do. Jibreel alayhi salam comes down, and he informs Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that this is their plan, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then the famous incident, how he then left his home, he put Ali radiallahu anhu in his bed, and eventually Allah then gave him permission for hijrah, and that was the turning point. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then migrated to Madinah Munawwara. So this is mentioned in this verse. وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. That remember the time when the disbelievers had plotted against you. And these were the options. لِيُثْبِتُوكَ. To take you captive. أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ. Or they wanted to kill you. أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ. Or they wanted to expel you from the land. So all of these options were there. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. They plot. And Allah has His plan. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. And Allah is the best of planners. So the lesson behind this, my dear brothers, is that no matter how complex, how sophisticated, how intense the plan of the enemy may be, the enemies of Islam, and even though it may seem as though there is no escape route, no way out, as we find in the world today, it seems as though there is no way out, but this verse will remain till the day of Qiyamah. وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ. They continue plotting, Allah continues planning, and Allah's plans will always prevail. Allah's plans are always the best. Yes, at times for some wisdom, Allah does allow temporary loss to take place. But ultimately, dominance, superiority, and success will always come to Islam and the Muslims. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.